God, I ask that you would help us to understand that we too are messengers. We're called to ministry and to bear witness to your unfailing love. Thank you that you are the God who keeps promises. Give us hope, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I thought today was opportunity to talk about the devil. I don't know when the last time you heard a sermon about Satan or the devil, but here's one. I think we, C.S. Lewis said the devil would like us to do one of two things. One, believe that the devil does not exist. And two, to have an overarching interest in the devil. Those are the two things that the devil would hope for us. And I believe that to be true. We've been done a disservice by images of angels and devils, both. As Halloween comes up, I am shocked, and I am shocked, to see how adults are so ignorant as to let their children go out dressed up as devils and other spiritual forces of evil and say, oh, isn't Susie cute? With her pitchfork and pointy tail. And I just go, what are we doing, friends? Let's not promote evil. Let's not caricature the devil as something harmless and cute. The same could be said of angels. Every time Valentine's Day comes around, you know, we're flooded with image of pudgy little babies with wings and little bow and arrow, right? Angels are not cute. They're not pudgy. Well, what do I know? I don't know. Maybe there's a pudgy angel out there. But in the scriptures, whenever humans encounter angels, the first words out of the angel's mouth is, do you know what it is? Fear not. People are freaked out in the presence of angels by their majesty, by their power, and by their authority, by their very presence. Those who are in the presence of God, whenever they come and go to contact with the created world, it is truly awesome. That's another word that has been so watered down. How is your soup? Awesome. What? I mean, angels are awesome. God is awesome. We will learn awesome when we are translated from this life into the next life. And in that day, we'll go, okay, this is what awesome is. It's beyond words. It is truly awe-inspiring. It's so sad when that word is ascribed to things that are not awe-inspiring at all. When a Seinfeld rerun is awesome, friends, we've completely lost the meaning of the word. And I believe that this feast day of St. Michael and all angels is meant to sort of kind of get our attention again, to sharpen us with regard to the spiritual world. We are trafficking this life in the powers and principalities. Our church has the powers and principalities sort of woven in the fabric, and we're called to discern what is good and what is not, and name what is not. And when it's evil, to name evil, and to not stand by when that which is not good exerts itself, even within this community of faith, perhaps especially within. And so what do the scriptures have to say that might help us in our daily life? The revelation of Jesus Christ is just that. It's been misnamed in the scripture. It says the revelation to John. Well, the revelation of what? And really, it's of whom? All of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's to be listened to in technicolor, with your imaginations blown. And so when we hear this depiction today from the revelation of Jesus Christ according to John, we're to go, wow. Can you imagine a sports commentator? Perhaps two. Sometimes they travel in teams, right? If it's a big game or whatever. A sports commentator saying, and war broke out in heaven. And Michael and his angels, can you just see it? You know, this heavenly host, sparkling and powerful and brilliant. fought against the dragon. And right away, our thoughts, where do they go? An image of a dragon? Is it a cute little stuffy? Or is it awesome, fearsome, dreadful? The dragon and his angels. Whoa! So there's this pitched battle in the heavenly realms between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. And wouldn't you know it, the dragon and his angels fought back. But they were defeated. I can just hear a play-by-play, you know, with little skirmishes here and there being described. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. No longer. The great dragon was thrown down. It's like a smackdown. You know, some people like watching MMA, you know, martial arts on TV. For me, it's a little rich. I can't watch it, but it's a cage match, right? And there's a smackdown. There's a slam down. Well, this is the ultimate smackdown. The great dragon was thrown down, and that ancient serpent, not old and decrepit, not, you know, racked with arthritis, but this is the ancient serpent that was from the beginning of time, woven in even to creation. And the serpent said to Eve, do you remember? Did God really say? We're told that this serpent, this ancient serpent, this great dragon is called the devil and Satan. Now, to name another is important. To know a name is important because that tells us something about the character of the other. And all the names seem to revolve around this deception. He is the deceiver of the whole world, and he was thrown down. And his angels were with him. They were also thrown down. And so it seems to me in this opening sort of image, this play-by-play, two things are important. The devil does not have the last word, and the very nature of the devil is to deceive. Lucifer, another name not mentioned here, but an angel of light. Attractive, gets our attention, but ultimately deceptive. We see Jesus' interaction with spiritual forces of evil in the New Testament, and often it's very brief. Be gone. In the temptation in the wilderness, he did have some dialogue with the devil, but it was very brief, and Jesus' response was always around Scripture, quoting Scripture, the testimony of God. And so we would do well to remember that. And not delve into spiritual darkness, which parades as light. One of those would be the horoscope. It's printed in the daily paper. It's available everywhere, online. You can get a number of horoscopes. And I remember one time I was to meet with someone in the church. We were supposed to meet on a Wednesday for coffee in the afternoon. And she called me up and said, I can't meet today. And I said, oh, okay, well, maybe we could rebook. She goes, well, I'll have to wait to do that. I said, well, okay. She goes, yeah, it's just not a good day for me. And I said, oh, is there something that, you know, could I pray? Well, she said, my horoscope said don't go out. You know, are we getting our cues from other sources? And do they have their root in God, or do they have their root in something else? And if it's something else, be wary of what is promised. Be wary of what is offered. Nothing down. Don't pay until 2020. Beware of the promises made that seem to glitter, to sparkle like glitter. So the good news is, from this opening sort of play-by-play, is that the devil, Satan, this great dragon, the ancient serpent, has been thrown down. And at the end of the reading, it says, rejoice then, you heavens, those who dwell in them. But perhaps you've picked up on this. The bad news is that the devil has been thrown down to the earth. This is the deceiver's dominion. And so in that same reading, it says, woe to you, earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you with great wrath because he knows his time is short. I hope that gets our attention, not to fear, but just to wake us up. A lot of people say, you know, there's so much bad in the world. Should that be a surprise to the believer? Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to its fullest." And again, hearkening back to what C.S. Lewis said, the worst thing we can do is to get hung up on the news cycle. It's said in the newspaper industry anyway, and also it's any media perhaps, if it bleeds, it leads. The devil loves that. We just get so burdened with all the awful stuff going on in the world that we get down. We lose heart. We get worn out. So let's be careful where we focus. There is bad news, but there's also good news. There's good news. And I believe in this revelation, God trumps this bad news. I have to watch even using that word. Because we're told, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, 'Now have come the salvation of our God and the power of our God and the kingdom of our God.'" Okay. Is that where the believer might gain some hope and strength and guidance, courage? Even in the face of destruction, perhaps, evil, perhaps, personal trial and struggle. And the authority of his Messiah. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Does that frame that prayer a little differently? Knowing that we're in this dominion of the devil. I remember once I was probably 8 or 9, and in our neighborhood occasionally we played kick the can. And as I became better versed in the tactics of kick the can, I thought that I would go cut through the backyards and circle around, and I was going to kick the can. And I dropped into the third yard. I didn't cut through the third yard very often near my home. And as I climbed over the fence and dropped, I heard the chain rattle, and I looked, and there was a German Shepherd. And it started growling. And I was petrified. I was terrified. I dropped into the German Shepherd's backyard. His dominion. Her dominion. I didn't check the sex. I was absolutely terrified, and I went up that fence quicker than the dog climbed into it. And literally, I just fell over the fence. I didn't care where I landed. But friends, we're in the backyard of the deceiver. We've dropped in. We were born here. And how do we take care? Be on our guard. Get out when, you know, we're being pursued or when we're falling into temptation. "Lead me not into temptation" is what that experience, I believe, was about as I dropped in. It was my idea. And I got out of there, right? So there's good news that God has not been unseated by the devil. And the bad news is the devil's been banished from heaven and has ended up here. It's interesting in Revelation that the new heaven and the new earth are going to be joined. Do you hear that in the first reading? Jacob's dream. There was a ladder between heaven and earth, and the angels went up and down on it, and God's presence was in that place. This foreshadowing, this allusion to Jesus, who then took that scripture and allusion and used it for himself with Nathanael. You'll see greater things than this, Nathanael. You'll see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. God has united heaven and earth through Jesus. And wants us to understand that these heavenly realms, as well as these earthly realms, and God trafficking in both by his Spirit. And equip us, his messengers, literally his angels, that's the word translated, moving under the authority of his Messiah, illuminating darkness, being wise, retreating when we need to, and when we're tempted just to seek help. Seek counsel, seek prayer, seek forgiveness, and not go that way again. And that's easily said, but not easily done always. We learn something more about the devil, the ancient serpent, Satan. He's the accuser. The accuser of our comrades in this revelation that John is recording. Have you ever been accused wrongly? Has someone persisted in that? It's painful, isn't it? It's awful. It can consume you to be accused wrongly. And these accusers, the accuser is accusing the saints day and night before the throne of God. But those accused, and in this case martyred for their faith, they conquered. Those which seemed down and out actually conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. May we be heartened in some way by that, those of you who are going through trials, who are suffering emotionally, physically. I was thinking as I drove here in the morning, I drive here about 20 minutes, 25 minute drive, and I usually try to warm up my voice. I used to wake up my wife and talk to her, but she got fed up with that. She goes, talk to somebody else before 7. So I talk in the car and I sing. And this morning as I was kind of warming up, I thought of a song, and some of you know it. It's "This Is My Father's World." Do you know that hymn? And this verse in particular came to mind. Goes, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world." No, not that one. Thanks for your help, though. "This is my Father's world." I have to start over. "Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world." I should have written that down too. I thought I just had it. It's the one that says, "Though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." Right? You look around, you think wrong seems so strong, so dominant. And yet, as people of faith, we say, you know what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In my life, in my household, those things I have control over, and beyond, right? And so we pray, because we're in the devil's backyard, friends. We hope for a new heaven, a new earth. We hope for that heavenly Jerusalem to come down out of heaven. And until that time, we pray. And we even groan. We groan with all creation in eager expectation for that day, when all things will be reconciled. So if you're having a bad day, and we all do, some of us are stuck in a few bad days, let's remember that there is a thief out there who wants to steal and kill and destroy us. But let's also remember that there is a Messiah who has come that we might have life and have it to the full. Let's be driven to prayer, driven to thanksgiving, and great rejoicing. I'm glad you're here this morning. I think it's one of our disciplines as believers to worship regularly and to receive ministry like we did from our youth choir and other ministries, that's for sure, expressed today. And as we gather around this table, because we know that Jesus is in our midst, that's his promise, and God is the keeper of promises.